The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and from the Harvard Health Letter. First, I'm going to continue the Mayo Clinic Health Letter from July 2021. The first will be a question from the article entitled Second Opinion. Question: I thought I was experiencing a bout of tendonitis in my wrist, but my doctor said I actually have a torn ligament. What's the difference between a ligament and a tendon? Answer: ligaments and tendons work in conjunction with muscles, joints, and cartilage to support, stabilize, and power body movements. When you shrug your shoulders, point your toes, or sit up straight, your body's tendons and ligaments are at work. There are some similarities in the makeup of ligaments and tendons. They are both formed from dense, fibrous connective tissue. The tissue contains collagen and elastin fibers, giving them strength and flexibility. But they have important differences in their placement and function. A tendon begins at the end of each muscle, connecting the muscle to a bone. Its primary purpose is to assist in joint movement. As the body's natural shock absorbers, tendons are cord-like and can be stretched up to 15% of their original length without being damaged. The Achilles tendon is the longest tendon in your body. It connects your calf muscle to your heel. This connection allows for a variety of motions, like pointing your toes and pushing off when running or walking, all while helping to hold the heel in place. In contrast, a ligament connects one end of a bone to another bone with no muscle involved in the connection. Ligaments provide joint stability and guide joint motion. This helps prevent abnormal or excessive joint motion that would result in injury. For example, your knee joint is surrounded by four ligaments, including the anterior cruciate ligament. It's also called the ACL. Connecting your thigh bone or femur to your shin bone or tibia, the ACL helps to stabilize your knee joint in its frequent motion. Now we're going to turn to another article in the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, which is entitled Lichen Sclerosis. And lichen is spelled L-I-C-H-E-N, like the plant lichen. The subheading is Easing the Itch of This Chronic Disorder. You were hesitant to discuss the itch down there, but it just wouldn't stop. An exam by your doctor revealed the presence of thin, pale patches of skin around your genital area, signs of a condition known as lichen sclerosis. Lichen sclerosis is an autoimmune skin condition that's not very common, although it's likely that some people don't tell their doctors about it. It's characterized by patches of white, translucent skin and red or blotchy, wrinkled areas of skin. The condition typically develops in areas of friction, like the genital and perineal region. People with severe forms may experience sexual dysfunction or develop scar tissue that increases their risk of skin cancer. There is no cure for lichen sclerosis. While the majority of women will find relief with topical medications, long-term treatment is the only way to prevent significant complications. Common signs and symptoms include changes to the appearance of your skin, as well as burning and itching. There may be bruising or tearing of the skin around the vulva or urethra. There may be constipation or painful sexual intercourse. The condition is not contagious and cannot be spread through sexual contact. In addition to the genital area, the condition may involve other areas of the body, including the back, shoulders, neck, wrists, thighs, or breasts. Lichen sclerosis occurs in men and children, but is most prevalent in women from puberty through menopause. Its cause is unknown. A family history of the condition or the presence of another autoimmune disease, like a form of low thyroid function called hypothyroidism, are associated with increased risk. Skin trauma from a surgical wound or a sunburn can also contribute to development. Men who are overweight, have coronary artery disease or diabetes, or use tobacco experience higher rates of lichen sclerosis. Retention of moisture in the genital area also appears to play a role, impacting uncircumcised men and those with urinary incontinence. The severity of your signs and symptoms will determine how the condition is diagnosed. If clear signs of the condition are visible, a biopsy may not be necessary. But if there are atypical features, a biopsy is recommended to rule out cancer. A biopsy may also be done if your skin doesn't respond to initial treatments. After diagnosis, it's recommended that you see a doctor every 6 to 12 months to monitor skin changes. Lichen sclerosis is treated by applying a corticosteroid ointment like betamethasone or clobetasol to the affected area daily for up to 3 months to reduce skin inflammation. In addition, the doctor may recommend a topical calcineurin inhibitor like tacrolimus, which brand name is Protopic, P-R-O-T-O-P-I-C, which suppresses the immune system to further reduce inflammation. Mayo Clinic experts suggest that after several weeks of continuous use, the steroid ointment could be used 2 or 3 times a week, and the calcineurin inhibitor, the tacrolimus, could be used up to twice daily to prevent complications. You may also find it beneficial to use a soap substitute and to cleanse the area and apply a petrolatum-based ointment like Vaseline or Aquaphor to the affected skin. It may also help to avoid skin irritants like tight clothing. Most women will be able to control their symptoms by following long-term treatment plans. If your symptoms don't respond, you may need to try a full-body systemic approach. This means using oral immunosuppressant drugs or other drugs. Some success has been reported with other approaches, including vulvovaginal laser therapy and plasma-rich platelet therapy, but more studies are needed. Men who experience persistent symptoms may require help with weight loss, and reconstructive penile surgery may be necessary if the symptoms are severe. If the opening of the foreskin becomes narrowed, circumcision is usually recommended. Light therapy is a preferred secondary treatment for patches outside of the genital area. Lichen sclerosis can significantly impact your quality of life and severely affect your sexual function. You may find it helpful to speak with a therapist. In particular, a sex therapist may help with working out solutions for sexual challenges. Women with lichen sclerosis are often able to remain sexually active if they follow a treatment plan. But if the vaginal opening narrows in some women, this may make intercourse challenging. For menopausal women, adding vaginal estrogen to their existing treatment may make vaginal penetration more comfortable. You are also encouraged to learn how to perform self-examination to identify symptoms earlier. This can help you better manage the disease. The severity of your signs and symptoms will determine the length and frequency of your follow-up care. The next article from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter is entitled, Healthy Cooking Oils. Boost your nutrition by using them the right way. From the common canola to the quirky coconut, edible oils are everywhere. There are so many types of cooking oil that a seemingly simple trip to the grocery store can become fraught with indecision. Is olive oil healthier than coconut oil? What's the best oil for making a stir fry? And what exactly is avocado oil? Oils can be a healthy part of your diet if you choose them wisely. A simple way to think about fat is that fats are liquid at room temperature, like olive oil and canola oil. And these fats that are liquid at room temperature tend to be healthier than those that remain solid at room temperature, like butter and coconut oil. Many oils contain healthier unsaturated fats. Monounsaturated fats and polyunsaturated fats, which can lower cholesterol level. Butter and other animal-derived fats, on the other hand, contain saturated fats that can raise the cholesterol and put you at increased risk of heart attack and stroke. Many cooking oils, like olive oil and canola oil, also contain vitamin E, an antioxidant that can boost brain, blood, and skin health. Like all fats, oils are high in calories. They top out at 9 calories a gram, more than twice the calories of gram of carbohydrates or proteins. So they're best used sparingly. But fats are necessary for your body to function. So the goal should not be to eliminate them completely, but rather to limit your fat intake to 20 to 35% of your daily calories. Make sure that good fats, like those found in liquid oils, nuts, and seeds, make up the bulk of those calories. Some liquid oils are best to avoid altogether. Oils derived from tropical plants like coconut oil and palm oil are higher in saturated fats than other oils. Despite being touted as a health food, coconut oil is made up of 92% saturated fat. While coconut oil is often used as a butter replacement in an effort toward heart-healthy baking, it's not necessarily healthier. The article goes on to say that the table, which I will describe, can be used to choose the best oil for your needs. Pay attention to smoke point because heating oils too much may negate the health benefits and potentially release toxic fumes. The first set of oils are those with a high smoke point. That means that their smoke point is 400 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. These oils can be used for browning, roasting, searing, and stir-frying, and they include avocado oil, which has a grassy, buttery flavor and is high in monounsaturated fat. Avocado oil is a healthy kitchen staple. Next is peanut oil. Peanut oil, while subtle in flavor, is high in monounsaturated fatty acid. Finally, sesame oil contains polyunsaturated fats, including omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, and has anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties. It can be heated up to 410 degrees, which, combined with its rich nutty flavor, makes it a great choice for Asian-style stir-fry. So the good oils with a high smoke point are avocado oil, peanut oil, and sesame oil. The oils with a medium smoke point of 350 to 400 can be used for baking, oven cooking, and sautéing. And they include canola oil, grapeseed oil, and olive oil. Canola oil is low in saturated fat, has a high proportion of monounsaturated fats, and contains omega-3 fatty acids. It's a great replacement for butter in baking. Grapeseed oil has a clean, light taste and is high in polyunsaturated fats and vitamin E. Olive oil is packed with monounsaturated fatty acids, but flavors can vary from mild to grassy or peppery. Though it can be used in cooking, olive oil is also popular as a dressing or dip. And as is pointed out, olive oil has a medium smoke point, which may make it difficult to use for things like browning and stir frying. Finally, there is a product called walnut oil, which is used for low heat baking, as well as dressing, marinades, and sauces, because it has a low smoke point of 300 to 350 degrees. Walnut oil, with its nutty flavor and aroma, is higher in healthy omega-3s than our other nut oils. But like all nut oils, it can become bitter if it's overheated. It's best used uncooked or heated to low temperatures. Now we're going to turn to the Harvard Health Letter. This is from August 2021. And the first article is called "The Best Types of Exercises When You Have Hip or Knee Pain." Hip or knee pain makes everything harder, especially exercising. How are you supposed to work out when it hurts to bend your joints or put pressure on them? The answer is to switch to non-weight-bearing exercise that takes the burden off your hips and knees. It allows you to move more freely with less pain, and you wind up feeling better afterward, says Vijaya Dharyani, a physical therapist and personal trainer with Harvard-affiliated Spalding Outpatient Center. Several exercise machines are gentle on your joints and provide a great cardio workout while strengthening your muscles, improving endurance, and boosting range of motion. These include an elliptical trainer. This machine has pedals that move along an oval-shaped track, creating a fluid motion that saves you from hitting the ground and putting pressure on your joints. Most elliptical trainers also have handles or poles that you move back and forth for an upper body workout, like a cross-country ski machine. You need good balance to use an elliptical machine. If it's safe for you to use it, try moving the pedals backwards sometimes to challenge your muscles and balance even more, Dharyani suggests. A stationary bike. A stationary bike, also called an indoor cycling machine, has bicycle pedals and a seat with the back. The machines come in two styles, upright, like a regular bicycle, or recumbent, which has back support. If you use an upright bike, don't stand up and pedal. That can put extra pressure on your joints, Dharyani says. Finally, a rowing machine. A rowing machine has a seat that slides back and forth on a straight track and a horizontal bar that you pull toward you. While seated, you place your feet on foot pads, pull the bar, and propel yourself backward, simulating boat rowing with little impact on the joints. The tricky part of using a rowing machine is that it's low to the ground. Make sure you can get down to it and that you'll be able to stand back up, Dariani advises. No matter which of these machines you use, you should start out with a few minutes and the lowest amount of resistance and gradually increase over time. When 15 minutes with no resistance feels easy, add a little resistance to make it harder and increase it over time, Dariani advises. Next, the article describes low-impact exercises. Several low-impact exercises can also provide a good cardio workout and muscle strengthening without stressing your joints. These include pool exercises, like swimming laps, water aerobics, or walking in waist-deep water. The water keeps you buoyant, taking pressure off your joints, and provides resistance, which helps build muscle and bone strength. Exercising in water is also safer for balance and mobility, as there's no risk of falling. You're free to do so much more in the water than you would on land, but be cautious and don't necessarily attempt the same kinds of exercises out of the pool, Dariani says. Next is short, brisk walks. Short walks, as opposed to long ones, avoid excessive pressure on the joints. If you can go out for 5, 10, or 15 minutes a few times a day, that adds up, Dariani says. In terms of aerobic health benefits, 3 10-minute walks per day is the equivalent of 1 30-minute walk and is easier on your joints. When walking, you should wear snug-fitting walking shoes with good supports. Steer clear of tree roots or anything that would make you lose your balance, Dariani says. Next is Tai Chi. This low-impact martial art is not a cardio workout, but it has many benefits. It involves a series of slow, choreographed movements. You gradually shift your weight from one pose to another as you focus on body sensations and deep breathing. Tai Chi has been shown to improve balance, flexibility, range of motion, and reflexes. It also reduces falls by up to 60%. Tai Chi will help you function better, especially with hip or knee pain. But Dariani warns, if shifting into a pose hurts, don't force it. Before starting any of these exercises, get the okay from your doctor or physical therapist. And don't worry about immediately meeting the standard goal of 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise. Any amount of exercise will help. If you're starting at zero and you do a minute, that's progress. Then do a minute and a half, then 2 minutes. Keep increasing your time, Dariani says. The payoff of exercise is well worth it. Even small increases in moderate intensity physical activity provide health benefits. Some of them can happen quickly, like reduced feelings of anxiety, reduced blood pressure, greater insulin sensitivity, and improvement in sleep, says Dr. I. Min Lee, a senior exercise researcher and professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. And over the long term, you'll get other benefits, like increased heart and lung fitness, increased muscle strength, and a reduced risk for chronic disease, like heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and several cancers. Next, we're going to look at news briefs. The first section in news briefs says, high blood pressure? Treat the risk, not the number. You already know that medication can prevent heart attacks and strokes in people diagnosed with high blood pressure. But a study published in the May 2021 issue of The Lancet reveals that medication may also offer benefits to people with pressures still in the normal or high normal range, and no clear signs of cardiovascular disease. Researchers combined data from 48 randomized trials of blood pressure drugs involving 345,000 participants. Over 4 years, reducing blood pressure by just 5 millimeters of mercury reduced the overall risk of cardiovascular problems by 10%. Problems like clogged coronary arteries, weakened heart muscle, chest pain, and stroke. The risk declined regardless of how high the pressure was or whether participants already had heart problems or stroke. Study authors stress that the findings don't mean everyone should be put on blood pressure drugs. Medications always come with costs and risks for side effects. This study does suggest that people with a relatively high risk for heart attacks and strokes might consider taking a medication if their blood pressure is in the high normal range, always in combination with diet and with exercise. And next week we'll go on with this August 2021 issue of the Harvard Health Letter. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.